anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I'm thinking of spelling my name with a Y instead of an E, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and my child asked Santa for a Newton's cradle, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Oh, I know why. Yes, I know why on yours. Because of Star Wars.
Jen Orso. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, one of our listeners beat me to it.
What do you mean? Like, her name is Jen or renamed Jen?
Her name is Jen. She's on our Facebook group, and she did it a while back when Rogue One was first, like, announced. Yeah, so she beat me to it, but I had thought of it before I saw she did.
Hey, it's whatever. I mean, wasn't it on Facebook there was some sort of Jennifer Day?
Yes, yesterday. I was so excited.
That's
but
pretty
I
funny.
Missed it. I missed, like, most of the day.
Oh, it's okay. Every day is Jennifer Day in my world. I don't really go a day without talking to a Jennifer.
I know. We're everywhere. There are fewer Angelas, though. I used to know a lot of Angelas.
There are fewer Angelas, but we're still around. Mm-hmm. But there was just a lot of Jennifers. So
we're like fembots.
I guess. Well, it was just really popular. Something I read recently, in the past few months, where they were talking about different names, and you can kind of chart the popularity of your name, and it's really cool. It's like on a chart, and it shows at this time period there were all these Williams, and then it kind of went down, and then there are names that are kind of always sustain a little bit of popularity, and then there are names that peak and then go away completely, and then there are names that will like peak and then two generations later will come back because people start naming like after their grandparents and stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. And a lot of times if it peaks really hard, something like Jennifer, there will be a lot of a certain age. And like for a while, it's like everybody in their 20s is named Jennifer. And then now like all the moms and aunts are named Jennifer, yeah. You know? So like, and then like in 20 years, it's like everybody with like high school age kids and grandparents will be named Jennifer. So anyway, it was really interesting. You can put your name in and see like where it comes out. I don't know. It's interesting. I'll try to find. So what are we talking about today?
What kind of stuff have you been, geeky things and otherwise, have you been up to during our little hiatus?
The geekiest thing I've been doing is just working. Everything is working. Computers and code and all kinds of fun things like that. I mean, we bought Civilization VI. I haven't talked about that. It came out and we never buy games when they first come out. But we got Civ 6 and we got a copy for all three of us, me and Jim and Russell. And it's a little bit different. People that have been listening to the show for a while know that I am a huge fan of Civilization. I've been playing since like 99. I first started with Civ 2, The Test of Time. And then 3 was okay. 4 was pretty good. 5 has been kind of the gold standard. That's the one that everybody, you know, people really started playing a lot, and that's when Jim got into. And then Civ 6 now, it's a little bit of different gameplay style. I'm still getting a little used to it. And it's been interesting to me how, as a whole, the industry of gaming, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we went through a phase of like super realism, you know, everything's very gritty and brown. And that's how Civ 5 was, you know, everything's very muted, whereas they've actually moved like in the other direction and it looks more cartoony now, intentionally, not because the graphics are bad, but it has more of a shine to mm-hmm. it. So instead of, you know, it's just it looks more drawn, it looks more, it's just differently graphically, it's different. And it's funny because it's like people that play games like Civ or any game, you know, you get used to things being a certain way, and it's like you want that same experience. The reason you love the other game you want that in there, but you want it to be just challenging enough that it is new, you know? And so that's so hard because everybody likes something different about yeah. it, you know? So, anyway, I really like it though. And it's just getting used to it. It's just getting used to it because I was used to playing a certain way and now I have to kind of change my strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But all the things pretty much the stuff I did like about it. And I like, there's little throwbacks to Civ 2, which is cool. And oh, one of my favorite things is Sean Bean does all the voiceovers.
Oh, cool.
For it. So that's pretty cool because Civ 4, so one Civ ago, it was all Leonard Nimoy. So it was super cool and everybody liked Leonard Nimoy. And then Civ 5 was still good, but it just didn't have Leonard Nimoy. It didn't have anything. I don't know. It was just missing something. But Sean Bean, I think, brings that extra bit of awesome to the show. Sorry, I could talk forever about Civ, so I'll just let you.
No, that's what have awesome.
You? So that's probably the geekiest thing I've been doing. And yeah, I mean, we've just been so busy. So anyway, what have you been doing?
On the gaming front, my TV's dead, which sucks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but before it died, I'm a member of Xbox Live, and so is Angela. Xbox Gold, you get to download a free game, like, I think twice a month. We haven't played driving games in a long time.
Ooh,
and I like them, except sometimes, like, I guess in the past when I played driving games, it was always with my brother at his apartment. And he, of course, was like a master because he played it all the time. And so I come and here I am, you know, ground level, trying to figure things out. I'm running off the road. People are hitting me. But now that I have my own driving game, I realize it's just practice and
yes,
learning the controls.
Is.
So yep. David, Aaron, and I like became hooked on Forza Horizon, which was
I love Forza.
Oh my gosh, it's so awesome.
What kind of car do you have right now?
My favorite car is the Subaru WRX, and I kick total ass in that car. And I love it so much that as soon as I am able to buy a new car, I'm going to go test drive one of those and see if it's for me, like in reality.
But that's pretty funny.
Aaron became super good at it too. And I taught him how to do donuts.
Oh, that's funny.
So in the middle of the event at the center of the game where you have to get, you know, upgrades and sell your cars and stuff, he would do donuts in front of everyone. And I videoed it for someone and it was fun. And yep. I've been reading books. One of them, we're going to review for Anomaly.
Good.
Rico and I have been reading. And now I got Meds. He wants to read it, too. It's called Dracula versus Hitler.
Oh, awesome.
By Patrick Sean Duncan. It's one of Felicia Day's friends. And that's the only reason I knew about it is because I follow her on Facebook. And she had shared like a picture of herself holding up his book around Halloween. I don't know. I'm not like a super fan of urban fantasy or monster books or anything like that. But lately I've been listening to a lot and the title of this book just kind of hooked me. So I got it and oh my gosh, Angela, it is so good. You would love it.
Does it read pretty fast?
It's not. It is 19 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, the audiobook is. And I thought it was going to be funny because of the title, right? But no, it's really serious. And I mean, there's some comedy relief, but it's a serious book. And so anyway, I'm looking forward to reviewing that in a couple of, I guess maybe a month or so. Meds has to read it, but. And then now I'm reading a book for the Star Wars stacks. We're about to review Catalyst by James Luceno. It's like a prequel / background to Rogue One. So I'm going to be fully versed in the parents of Jyn Erso and the bad guys. It takes place like during the Clone Wars. Whenever we do our episode on Rogue One, we'll be able to fill in some blanks, or I'll be able to help because of this book. So far,
that's good.
It's okay. It's kind of meh. So yeah. I've been kind of disappointed in James Luceno lately. And then one other thing on the gaming front, Dave bought a new Samsung phone and they threw in a bunch of crap for free. So that makes me think that they're just trying to entice you to buy these phones because everybody wants an iPhone. They gave him a virtual reality Oculus, it's called Gear VR.
Yes.
It's like for Galaxy S7.
Yes.
and like a few others, like the Nexus and all these other things. We haven't used it yet, but I'm like, could you please download something so we could try this out? I want to try it out.
That is cool. And so it, does it come with like the goggles or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, so, like, cool.
Go ahead.
We used those at, that was at CES last year when we went to Vegas.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
To the Consumer Electronics Show or whatever. And we tried those. That was cool. I mean, they're so cool. The thing that weirds me out about virtual reality, obviously, is the cool next new thing, right? Mm-hmm. The only thing is that, like, when you're playing a game on your phone or on the TV or at your computer, you still have some awareness of your outside world. And so I guess, like, this idea that you really would be immersed is, like, cool and scary at the same time. Do
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
like I don't like the idea that, I don't know, it kind of, I don't know, I would really need to be able to
try
I don't
and
know.
See.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I know that I would like it. It's just that I don't know, like, you know, it's like you're letting go of too much. Like, I need to be able to have some sort of touchstone or something. I don't know. But I do like the idea. I think it'll be cool. And it's just going to get better and better. So that's cool stuff.
I've seen some clips on Facebook of people playing the new Battlefront installment. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're in an X-Wing fighter attacking a Star Destroyer. Mm-hmm. And it's someone was wearing the like a VR gear headset thing. And in mm-hmm. the video, you can move the cursor all the way around the cockpit.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
really cool. I'll have
yes,
to share
I did. It. I think I did see that.
I love Star Wars flying games. The Lego Star Wars games, my most favorite parts are the part where you have to fly. So as soon as I can get an Xbox One, I am going to get Battlefront just for that feature of the game.
That's very cool. I like flying, but I'm not very good at flying and shooting at the same time.
It takes some getting used to. It's like
I'm not
a driving game. I know.
Yeah, well, yeah, I like... Yeah.
You like no, driving I like, games too, right?
Oh, I do like driving games. And that's why I said the flying part doesn't bother me. It's just that there's always something shooting at you. So it kind of depends on the controls, whether or not I like it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. So we're going to see Rogue One. Did you see if that was okay for us to go?
I haven't asked, but I'm pretty sure it'll be okay.
So because... we're going to go, but it's going to be a couple days because there wasn't tickets. I'm sorry.
Oh, we can't see it together?
No, we can see it together. There just wasn't tickets on that day.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, that's fine.
So I think that weekend will be fine.
That'll give our listeners time to watch it too.
So can we talk about, it's not like there's spoilers because people kind of know what the deal is, right?
Right.
Do people know what the deal is? And so I was at the office the other day because I go in like once a week to one of my many different jobs. And one of my friends was like, so this Rogue One, she's not as into it, you know, but is curious. And she's seen all of the other ones. And she's like, so this Rogue One, tell me, what is it? And I was like, well, you know, it's the prequel to Episode 4. And none of the characters are not a lot of the characters from this episode are going to be in Episode 4. So it's kind of like Titanic. And she was like, oh. I said, yeah, but we're all kind of going in knowing that. And she's like, oh, okay. I felt bad. I felt like I was, yeah. But it's not like it's a spoiler because, like, everybody kind of knows, right?
Yeah. Well, and Star Wars fans do.
And it's possible that that doesn't happen. But I'm going in kind of with the idea.
Yeah.
That things do not end well for our heroes.
Our heroes, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, because you remember what Mon Mothma said.
Yes.
A lot of Bothan spies died to bring
See, are they Bothan, though?
Well, no.
Well, you know.
For them to get the plans or whatever. I don't know.
Right. No, we'll see. We'll definitely see. But it's so funny. It's... but it's still going to be really cool. I'm excited.
I heard that Lucas actually said that he could die a happy man now.
Oh, he liked it.
He loved it. And so
good.
I'm glad he liked it because he did not like The Force Awakens.
Really?
He did not like it. And
like, didn't at all?
At all. He didn't like it at all. maybe, you know, now that we've had some distance between watching the movie and reporting on it and now,
sure.
I mean, I see a lot of the points people are making, like, well, it's a recycled story.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. You have to surprise with the familiar, like to reintroduce people to the universe. You know, I get that. So I'm not as critical as some people have been, but I think that's what Lucas may have hated about it.
But it was intentional. Like, I don't fault them for that.
No, I don't, but I think he does.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, that knowing that and that he likes Rogue One, you know, it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. I
saw that article and I was afraid to click on it because I just
you didn't want spoilers.
Not that. I don't really care about spoilers on this one as much as not. Yeah. Like I didn't want it to color because like last year I just went, you know, radio silent for a few days until I had seen Force Awakens because I just didn't want to know.
Right.
But, you know, there's not really a lot of spoilers in this because it's a prequel. I don't think it's going to be the same kind of thing. There's going to be cool stuff that happens, but I don't know if there's going to be any huge revelations. I mean, we've had now four movies between this movie and Force Awakens. I mean, there's a lot of story that's already been given to us. So it's not like there was any big revelations in the first three.
No, but
you know, we kind of knew all that stuff happened. So
right. I think the exciting thing is that you get to know a little more about how and why it was constructed. I mean, and then,
like,
you know, how the plans were. I mean, I love that. And I loved that Mon Mothma is back in the film, and that actress looks a lot like her.
She really does.
She does. And she does. Also, I saw in the latest trailer that was released, the ghost from Star Wars Rebels, the cartoon, is in a scene with all the rebel ships coming up to the Star Destroyer or whatever to attack it. Or you see, it's like I don't know if it may have been like a little nod to make it canon, you know, bring them in or what, but that's pretty cool to see that. You know, those are the kinds of things I'm looking for. Also, it would be nice to have a really, really good, unique storyline that's not sucky. I've seen a lot of the trailer. I love the cinematography in these trailers. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's giving us like a different view. It's the same environment, but it's like a different perspective, I guess. I don't know. There's one where you're on a planet, and in the sky is the Death Star, and it's gigantic, and it kind of helps you feel the oppressiveness of the Empire just through a camera angle. I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's, yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that I don't want to see it. That's
because
it's like everything else. You know, I want to know as much about the world as I possibly can. I really love that idea. Mm-hmm. I just am not as worried about the spoiler aspect.
Yeah, we know
about it.
We know what happens.
Because we know kind of what's going to happen. And but I don't mean that in a bad way. I just am saying it's not like something that I'm worried about. So you, speaking of movies, you went and saw
Fantastical Beasts and Where to Find Them. It was a good movie.
Were there any spoilers? Because that's the thing is Russell's reading the books and I didn't want him to, he's not finished. So I didn't want it to be spoiler.
Right. No, there's nothing. They mentioned Dumbledore. There are some things that happen, but it's not spoilery at all.
It's not spoiler for
people who are still reading Harry Potter. And there's also a villain who's mentioned in the books as a background for Dumbledore. So you're going to get to know more about that guy. But there's nothing that's how they're going to connect the series.
Right, which is totally fine with me. I mean, because that world is super cool. And, Russell's like totally into it now. So what do you like most about the movie?
I love that we're getting to see more of the world. You know, the wizarding world is not just in Europe. And then also we're getting to see a different time. So I've seen critics who have written about how that time period and the fact that it is in the States removes any fantastical element or, you know, it's no longer magical, whereas the setting in England made it magical. Now it's not. And I completely disagree because the period in which this movie takes place is magical in and of itself. I mean, it's the Roaring Twenties. It's romantic. I mean, there were a lot of things going on. You had gangsters and mobsters and, you know, just the flapper era. It's awesome. Jazz was going on. It was magical in a different way. So you get to see that. Plus, they kind of deal with some political undertones about, you know, acceptance. And you know, this kind of stuff is in the first set of Harry Potter films and books also, because you have the difference between the Muggles and the wizards. So that kind of carries across to the United States. So the people who are against the wizards are like extremists who protest and hand out leaflets about how evil the wizards are and stuff. But at the same time, you get the same kind of feel about the wizarding community and how they feel towards Muggles, which they also have a different name for Muggles. Obviously, we speak the same language, but the Queen's English is very different from our English. And sometimes you could have two different words for the very same thing, and Muggle is one of them.
So, really?
Yeah. There's a lot of really
cool
things about this. And whenever you've seen it, and we can do an episode about it, because I think we should cover it at some point.
Okay.
There are some interesting parallels, maybe they're not intended, I don't think, between Doctor Who and Harry Potter now.
Well, anyway. I mean, it's from a similar culture, so
it is.
It's
yeah,
not completely.
Well, yeah, but is Doctor Who a wizard? He's not even a human, but I'm just saying there's some interesting parallels.
Well, I mean, it's cool because it's interesting how, like, if you live with one foot in the quote unquote real world as Harry Potter does, then there has to be cultural aspects that sink in.
Yeah. Well, one of the cool, well, I don't want to give anything away, but they do have in the trailer, they have goblins and house elves. And
oh, good.
It's quite different than how it is in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And I like that because, of course, they would be different here because, you know, two different cultures.
Oh, yeah. So, no, that's interesting. I read an article recently where they were talking about, or people have been comparing and saying, you know, the Harry Potter universe is like the new Star Wars universe, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody was making an argument that really it's the new Disney. Like, it's so vast, but in a way Star Wars is part of Disney now. So it's like this world of Harry Potter is not even in J.K. Rowling's hands anymore. Like, it is, but it's, you know, it's just kind of become bigger than her idea, just like Star Wars has.
Yeah.
And you know, Disney to a certain point, it's like, it's not just a story anymore. It's this entire world. And I think that's very cool because, and I think it's cool that it feels like she's been nice about it. She wants to have some input and she wants to make sure that her world is being treated respectfully, but she doesn't seem to have too much, I don't know what the word is, like too much ego about it. I guess she's been very cool about, hey, we still want to know more about the world and we want to do this. And she's just like, okay.
So, well, I thought that she had a big hand in writing the script.
Well, she did, right. So. No, I know, but like, there's only so much one person
right
can be involved in, you know, I mean, and Harry Potter's kind of just growing so much. So anyway, I think it's interesting.
I think that's cool too. I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot and read a lot of comments from people saying that it's cheapening these franchises to have all these stories, because at some point you're going to have an overload and you're not going to want it anymore. And I think that may have happened a little bit with Star Trek. And that's why there was a break from television for so long. Mm-hmm. But I think that Star Trek, Harry Potter, and Star Wars are very deep wells. Mm-hmm. And the problem isn't so much that people get tired of it. It's that we don't want the same thing over and over again, just served up on a different ship or a different
right
set of characters. Well, you know, we want something, show us something new, but that doesn't divorce itself completely from what we know.
Well, right. So it's interesting though, because it's like, there's also some sort of reverence for the story as it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want to be connected to it, but you don't want to know, like, I don't know. I think that's why some of us had issues with the prequels, is because of the Star Wars, you know, 1, 2, and 3, because it was almost too much information. This idea of, we just accepted Darth Vader as this character. I think that there were some people, and myself kind of included, that it's like, okay, well, here's this super bad guy and he uses the Force and he's evil and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, maybe there's this interesting plot twist and a, you know, redemption story. That's all we kind of needed. Mm-hmm. And so then to add all of this extra, you know, more detail about the love story and more detail about this, and he's a whiny teenager and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, wouldn't it have been more fun? And that's why I kind of like the, you know, we've talked about extended universe stuff. I really like the ones that you've told me about where it's just, you know, the backstory of some random person in the cantina. That is cool because you still get to use the world, and it's a world that you know you're interested in, but it doesn't necessarily like add or take away from the main story. It's right. Just you get another story from this world, and I think that's okay. I think it's okay to do that. But I think if you try too hard, and that's where like I've heard some back and forth about The Cursed Child, which is the last book that came out that's like a play or something. I haven't read it, and I know the character of Harry Potter's in it. Harry Potter himself has already had a conclusion, and everybody's happy with that. So I like the idea more of like the movie that you just saw, The Fantastical Beasts, because it doesn't have anything to do with Harry Potter.
Right.
Himself. It's just in the magical world that the Harry Potter books established, and it's another story. It's just a different story in this world. And yes, they may have connections, and you may see certain things and things that you recognize, but the story of Harry Potter still kind of lives on its own. Harry, Hermione, and Ron, and all of that, they all have their little bubble. And then the other things happen. Other things can happen on the side. I don't know. And I, you know, that's just one fan's opinion of how that stuff works. I like Force Awakens, though, because I feel like I understand the complaints about it, but I think that it does everything in the way that it should. Of course, I mean, after a year of thinking about it, yeah, you're going to be able to be a little more critical, but I still stand on how I felt about it when I first watched it. I still think it's a cool movie, and I enjoyed how they used the main three from the first three movies sparingly and introduced these new characters, and I don't know. Sorry.
No, that's fine. No, that's the kind of stuff I like to talk about. I've missed our conversations.
Oh, man.
I want to know what the audience thinks, though. So if y'all have opinions on this stuff, you should write into us and let us know.
And another thing, which is like so stupid, but it's something I think about a lot when I see people discuss, you know, how certain stories are treated. And especially when you get in this argument between books and movies, one of my favorite things that I heard one of the filmmakers from Lord of the Rings talk about was that, you know, you can go all back and forth about, oh, the book's better than the movie, book's better than the movie. I don't think it matters. The book is a book and it still exists. If you want to read the book, you can go read it. The movie, there's a group of people who have decided how to produce it and they got the money to do it and they put it out there. It's a different story. And yes, it's based on it. Yes, it's very similar to it. But one does not have to supersede the other. They can both still exist and you can enjoy them without messing up the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, perfectly. I heard an author say this one time, and it made so much sense to me. They see the movie versions of their books as grandchildren.
Yeah.
So they're related, but they're not the same thing, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think about this Star Trek Discovery television series that's coming
up? It looks awesome. I love Anthony Rapp so much. The actor that they cast, he's done Broadway and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And evidently it's going to be very exciting because his character is supposed to be openly gay. I think that's cool. I just hope they have a good story. I don't care.
Yeah.
I like him as an actor, and I like the idea of having, because Star Trek has always been about progressiveness and diversity. And so I think that's awesome. But I think that also those things can be heavy-handed. It's too much. Like, as long as it's a good story and he's a good character, and you know, any character, if it's a good story, if it's a good character, I don't care.
I don't care either. I just want it to be a more of a so happens to be, not.
Well, no, but I think that for like anything, Star Trek traditionally has been able to handle that pretty well. The only thing I'm not a fan of is this whole CBS on demand.
Me either.
Subscription thing. I am a huge Star Trek fan. I am definitely, you and I are both the target audience for this. I'm okay with that, but I just don't think it's fair because I'm paying for cable. I'm paying for Netflix. I'm paying for Amazon Prime. Right. I'm all over the place paying for stuff. And I just feel like, I don't know, it just makes me feel icky that I'm going to have to buy a subscription to something I like barely care about just so I can see one thing.
Yeah.
I really want to see, you know, I mean, that's, I don't know. Because that's... the other things that I buy into, I get a variety of stuff that I want to see. Mm-hmm. And so I am literally going to have to pay for all this programming I really don't care about just so I can see one show. And I just feel like that's gross to do to Star Trek fans. It is.
I agree. I agree completely. And the other thing is they're trying to push the envelope as far as what is allowed because it's an all access channel. Now they're going to be able to do
nudity
and profanity. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I watch Outlander, but this is Star Trek. I know our times are different. I mean, it humanizes the characters, and I can see why you would want to do that. But at the same time, Star Trek is this thing to look forward to. It's like when things are, it's kind of a utopian society. And I just don't see people using the F word on the bridge, you know?
Well, but you don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case. I mean, again, like you just have to, see how they handle this newfound, what's the word? This new playing field that they're on. You just have to see how they handle it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see them. I feel like the movies, even though people complain about the JJ movies, I don't see that they went too far off because you can curse in movies. I don't feel like it was.
No, not at all.
Overly.
I think if they don't do it in the movies, they shouldn't do it on television because Obviously they can do whatever they want in a movie and give it whatever rating they want.
I think that there is definitely, you know, if they're doing Star Trek, there is something that they kind of have to hold to. What they want is an audience. And so they're going to try to find an audience for it. It's only the like super fans, especially if they're asking for this extra money from people. It's the super fans that are going to be watching it. And if they don't feel like their Star Trek is being recognized, then they're not going to pay anymore.
Right.
So I reserve my judgment. Everything, it's so easy to like talk about it when you really don't. You know, you see these little snippets, but
I know
it's hard to know.
I am not the type to like judge anything before I've seen it. And I have always said, you know, let's not jump to conclusions until we see it. I just saw that, you know, there was going to be cursing and nudity. And I thought, well, that's why it's on cable. And then it started to, you know, to think about, well, the only time you really hear, you know, cursing, I just remember Spock using it in the Voyage Home. And it was to serve the story. If it serves the story, that's fine. But I'm just kind of worried, a little bit worried that they're going to like be trying to really make this shocking.
Well, and the other thing is I get the feeling that they're using this show to really push the subscription service.
Yes.
And so if that's what they're doing, then they are going after people that are already established fans.
Yeah.
And so they have to have in mind what those established fans want to see. That's why I'm hoping that they'll be okay. Also, what timeline is this in? Do we know?
I used to know. I have the wiki page opened. I'm not sure.
I don't know that I care, but I just am curious. Is it in the timeline we're used to and it's after, you know, Voyager?
I think it takes place. Okay, here it is. Just after Enterprise, maybe?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm thinking it's before the original Star Trek series.
But it's in the... So it's in both timelines, technically.
Yeah.
So it's after Enterprise. Okay.
I don't know. And I have also heard rumors, and I don't know if it's true, that maybe each season will be a separate crew in a different timeline. I'm cautiously optimistic, and also I know I'm not going to be able to afford to watch it. It starts in January, and I'm going to be in the dark.
So the question is that like for those of us who can't or won't get the subscription service, you know, will there ever be an opportunity to watch it? Like, will it come out some other way?
That would be nice, but I don't know.
I mean, that's, you know, 6 months after, could you get it on iTunes or something like mm-hmm. that? That's
yeah. iTunes lets you buy subscriptions to television shows that are current. For mm-hmm. instance, that's how I watch Star Wars Rebels. I have a subscription on iTunes and it's like $25, $30 for the entire season. And every mm-hmm. time, every week they update my little mm-hmm. feed with a new episode.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to doing that. I don't want to subscribe to this CBS thing, but I have a feeling they won't do that, you know, because it's a new thing for them. So they're not going to want to share it for a while.
No, I mean, I bet you're right. It's just unfortunate.
Yes, I agree.
So I guess we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Mm.
You think our next episode will be a review of Rogue One?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think I will play us out with one of Rick Moyer's Trekmas
Oh, good.
I think that would be very appropriate. And maybe the next episode I'll put up will just be like that Star Trek Palooza one I did that was all Rick's songs, but I'll do another episode that's all his Trekmas parodies, which are really good.
That's so funny.
Anyway, well, I'm glad back. I think
we're back.
We didn't mention Anomaly Supplemental, though. We are sad to see them go.
Yeah, but we're excited that they're doing some more new stuff for themselves. That's awesome.
Check out their other things. And I think they'll probably be guests, and Sue still wants to contribute to the blog and things like that. So they're not going to be gone. Good run.
It was. I mean, and you know, we are still in the middle of making transitions ourselves. Until we can commit to like a bigger transition, we will continue to put shows out as long as we can. If not, we'll put up our archive episodes. And we have lots of archives, Jen.
I've put a lot of them up.
In February, we'll be doing this for 10 years. So,
yes.
Right?
That's true. Yeah. We should do something for that.
Yes.
A little party.
That would be really awesome. So, well, is there anything else that you want to add?
I guess the last thing to do is to tell you how to get in touch with us. You can find us online at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. You can find us on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Those are the places we usually hang out the most. All those links are on anomalypodcast.com, and you can call us with a comment. We love those, by calling 432-363-4742, and it gives you about 3 minutes, and if it cuts you off, don't worry, just call back. We'll splice them together. You can also email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Come hang out with us on the Facebook group. And we will catch you later.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen. And you've been listening. Sorry, you do it.
No, you go ahead.
And we're out of practice. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
10%.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, you better hang up or you won't be able to work today.
Oh, I can plug it in. It was okay when we started, but phone calling and recording and interneting takes a lot.
It does.
And an hour of it. So, we're literally
it's beginning to look a lot like Trekmas as we boldly go. Starfleet women and the men all going at Warp Factor 10, making friends with alien races to know. It's beginning to look a lot like Trekmas on the planet to which we beam. There's foam made into rocks and science officer Spock on our own away team. Romulan hail, a face that is pale, a galaxy full of stars, planets with life and peace from the strife, a colony settled on Mars. The Prime Directive keeps us all from going way too far. It's beginning to look a lot like Trekmas as we boldly go. There's a ship in the shuttle bay, the kind that will fly away, that we can go to San Francisco Bay. It's beginning to look a lot like Trekmas. There's nothing we can't do. Take a seat in the captain's chair and let's go see what's out there. Discover civilizations that are new. Discover civilizations that are new.
I think that was it. All right. How do you like being unemployed?
Self-employed.
I know you're not.
I was just, I don't know if you saw my picture that I put up on my wall of E.T. dressed as a girl. This is how I look most days. Like, I am a full-on bag lady and I don't give a crap. I go pick Aaron up like that. I go to the store that way. I haven't worn makeup except one time in 2 weeks.